This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee. All for just $89.95. That's right. We guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Do you win a pennant when you need a third baseman and a closer and a bullpen, let's be honest, and another starting pitcher?
The answer is an emphatic no.
Right.
Because no.
They need a strong outing from Ben Brown. They need a bullpen to stabilize, and they need to get a victory. They need to win a series.
Well,
because otherwise, all this stuff that we said yesterday, all the good vibes will feel a little bit less good.
Well,
here comes the 1-2. A little looper, shallow right, coming in. Suzuki has to play it on a bounce. A run will score. Here's a smash to first, past Turner, and down into the right field corner. A run is going to score. Now the strike two pitch on the way. A line drive, center field, base hit. One run is in. Here's the 1-2 pitch on the way. Nico bounces one toward third, charging Chapman, gloves it, and throws to first in time. And the Giants have taken 2 out of 3.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
That's just baseball, unfortunately.
Let's go!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I don't know what to tell you, Mr. David, other than the fact that the Cubs ran into a really good pitcher. The Cubs ran into some wind blowing in. The Cubs ran into a problem in losing another series yesterday, but they have been good. They just weren't good the last two nights.
Morning, Molly. Yeah, on this Thursday, the Cubs just didn't have it against Robbie Ray. Yep. Robbie Ray was good. He still has yet to lose a start, and right, the Giants are unbeaten when he's on the mound. That's a good team. That's a team from baseball's best division that lived up to the hype. They take 2 out of 3 at Wrigley Field against a really good Cubs team. Yeah. Don't want to overreact, but
no,
there are things that were positives. There are things that stand out and you worry about. And as they get ready to head to New York, I think a day off is good. They need this. Everybody kind of needs this. So it was a bit of a deflating afternoon at Wrigley.
Yeah, I think it was deflating. I think it was, the fact that it came off the disaster of the night before was also kind of in the air a little bit. But
I feel like that was a big factor. I know professional athletes, right. And I know that everybody flushes bad vibes and feelings in games, but it felt like when they lost that game on Tuesday night, it was
they lost two games.
They were fated to lose another.
Yeah.
It was like having a coupon. Mm-hmm. You get one free.
Buy one, get one free.
Lose one, lose another. And I feel like that was a factor because this is one of the best teams offensively in baseball. It did not look like it against Robbie Ray. It happens against good pitchers, but it didn't feel like they got things going after that deflating loss.
Where do you draw the line on the buy one, get one free thing? If it's buy two, get one free, do you draw the line there? When do you actually stop with that?
Well, I really like those deals.
Uh-huh.
And
it's
hard not to fall into. I even fall for the buy two for like
$7, get one for $3.50.
You get like if you're into certain types of pretzels or potato chips, and you see two for $7, it's very tempting. And so I do think that the baseball equivalent of that is the mindset. And we heard Tommy Hotovy talking before the game, and he did a great job of breaking everything down, as he does regularly on our show. But I just wonder, even that was indicative. I have no idea why Craig Counsell didn't address the media, but it did leave the impression that Tuesday night took a lot out of everybody.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was weird. And it, unfortunately, you have these days at Wrigley, and I don't know what inning it was where someone hit like a pop-up in the outfield, and it was early in the game, and whoever is playing for the Giants just kept tear arson it forward. He finally caught it, but it's like he's coming in. Oh, he's coming in for it. Like the ball just stopped in the air and died and fell. There are days like that sometimes where you need to somehow get the ball on the ground, somehow create a run, and somehow win a game.
And they were unable to do that.
Nope.
And then Ben Brown gets a career high, I think 9 strikeouts, 103 pitches, and he discovered his third pitch, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's the big takeaway from yesterday.
Good.
He threw 3 changeups out of 103 pitches, and that qualifies as a discovery, I suppose.
Well, I mean, look, he had it. He played well enough to win the game. That the vaunted best offense in baseball didn't. It's as simple as that. So I thought he was fine, but as you say, Robbie Ray's been excellent this year, and he's their talisman, and it just felt like it was going to be a really difficult.
This is all also what it felt like, and not to overreact to 2 losses or maybe 1 afternoon at Wrigley.
Yeah.
But who's the Cubs' Robbie Ray now?
Yeah. Well, that's
who's
a good
the Cubs' Robbie Ray for the next month? Do they have a pitcher that goes to the mound and instills the kind of confidence that Robbie Ray does every time he pitches for the Giants?
It might be Jameson Taillon.
Maybe.
Because it really, obviously, Steele and Shota are gone.
It's got to be Taillon.
It's got to be Taillon.
And you now have essentially, that is the correct answer, I think. And you have your third starter as the season was beginning, he was your projected number 3 starter in a situation now that he is your de facto ace because he has to be. And so that's what I mean about not every series has to be a referendum on the Cubs' ability to contend and to compete and all those things. It just feels that way.
No, it does feel that way. And it feels like this Mets series is bigger than it should be, or that we're going to project more out of it than we should. In part because this looks like Cade Horton's game, right? On Saturday, after seeing Flexen come in and pitch an inning yesterday, they're not saving him or working him toward a start on Saturday, right? I'm not saying he couldn't pitch, but he would be more a starter in that game than anybody that would go for a long period of time.
Could Council go the opener route?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. I mean, it's conceivable.
But I don't think he's going to. I feel like that was confirmation they're going to pull Cade Horton out of the minors.
It was an indication. I don't know about confirmation.
Okay.
It was an indication.
Indication.
Yeah, I think that's a good that's a good way to put things together. I've been a little surprised at how, I don't want to say cryptic, but the Cubs have been inconclusive about what they're going to do.
And they apparently they're powwowing today to figure it out. Okay. Do you believe that for a second?
I think they probably have to know already.
Yeah. I think logistics, sleeping fellas, no powwow.
Things, you know, when you have, you know, Major League Baseball front offices are so sophisticated these days in terms of, you know, everything is organized and everything is very corporate and everything is very much, I think, thought through thoroughly. I can't imagine that they wake up this morning, like, well, they're still mulling what to do over Ben, or what to do over, you know, Cade Horton.
Yeah. Who's going to be Saturday starter?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
So maybe today, will they announce such a thing? Would they make it public? I doubt it. We'll still be kind of talking tomorrow.
We'll have to watch the flights from Iowa, right? Or Tommy Burch, that he's packed his bags and gotten on a Greyhound.
There's a private plane going to Toronto. What?
No, sorry.
Yeah, I'm out of that. I'm out of that business.
Nights like this, Tommy Burch is invaluable.
Yeah, no question about
it. To Cub fans in Chicago and everywhere.
Yeah.
I would think that if they don't
you feel like it is him, though? I mean, I just looking at
I do, because it's logical, it's sensible, and it makes
I know there was black smoke out of the Vatican this morning.
Well, maybe
I don't know if
that two times now?
I don't know if they that's the second twice. Black smoke. Yeah.
Is this basically the Cubs version of the conclave?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We're waiting for white smoke.
So let's keep an eye at the Cubs offices.
There is white smoke in Iowa.
It wouldn't be in Iowa. It would be Jed and Carter. And do you think Council's involved?
This morning?
Okay.
I do.
Oh, did Council maybe convene the meeting? He called to order.
Here.
They come in and genuflect to him as he sits behind his desk.
What do you think Craig Council wants? Do you think it's in conflict with what the front office wants in terms of Saturday starter? I think they go into the Mets. I'll answer my own question first before
Justin
you do.
Justin Steele.
Yeah. I think Craig Council wants the best chance to win, and that probably would be Cade Horton now.
I think I'm careful. I don't want to say this. I better not say it because I'll get myself in trouble. But I will.
Tease.
Okay. No, I shouldn't. I'm not trying to create more problems, but because of all the concern about Cade Horton and how many innings pitch and all that stuff, I just started looking at the starting lineup. And have we talked enough about Matthew Boyd and whether or not he's going to be able to go all year? Can you expect him to actually, you know, if you look at how much he's pitched the last couple of seasons, can you project him?
He's done it before, though.
But he's done it
previously. It's been a while. I know.
And I just wonder, David, we're counting on them in October, and we're talking about Pennant stuff. Have we even thought
about... Well, I think there's a difference between the Matthew Boyd...
How many
Boyd
guys we need to panic about? Well,
I think that may be a little premature.
I know.
I understand why you'd mention it. He has been... limited because of injuries, and that's always one way you could look at it. The other way might be the Cubs felt pretty good about it, or good enough about his future and his health to give him. It's a modest 2-year contract, but 2 years, $29 million. That's a relatively sizable investment into somebody staying healthy.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between someone staying healthy and now. You know, the death march of a season, right? It's just a little different when you start thinking as we project forward who's going to be there and who isn't going to be there. So, I mean, hopefully Shota Imanaga is back and pitching as well as he has before.
The schedule softens too. You know, that's why the temptation today will to be go glass half empty on everything regarding the Cubs. And I think after you lose a series to the Giants and, you know, you started the week with such hope, that it's understandable, that tendency. But it's baseball, and this is where you have to remind yourself, as we were talking to Zach yesterday, long season, health is always going to be a factor, and you get through this stretch, the schedule softens considerably after this Mets
And you're
trip.
So right about that. And frankly, I think the disappointment of the San Francisco series, because they should have won the series because they should have won the game with that they came back and tied and got to extra innings. That went off the boil, and it was always going to be difficult to win the game yesterday, and it was bad weather. You couldn't get the ball out of the ballpark, which is something they like to do. I just feel
lovely
like...
Lovely day, but not for baseball.
No, it got windy, and the temperature did drop. It started lovely, and then everyone had blankets on.
Yeah, that was weird. It was a very strange Chicago spring day.
T-shirts to blankets.
And a weird Cubs Chicago game. Spring weather day is redundant.
Yeah.
Because it seems always so weird.
Yeah.
But I think the most overlooked aspect of what happened Tuesday night as we, fretted over Ryan Pressly and what he no longer has and all the things about the other factors in the game, the Cubs offensively should have won the game in the ninth and the tenth inning. Mm-hmm. And had they done that, I think that's where this almost like a letdown psychologically is that this is an offensive – this is one of the best offenses in baseball that had a chance to score a couple runs to win the game, and they did not do that. And so shame on them for putting it in the hands of a closer that had not been used a lot. And you read the stories, and you saw Ryan Pressly was at work at 8 o'clock yesterday morning and going back to what got him there.
Everyone wrote a story about him because he was the centerpiece of that. It was almost like, we get off the air, and everyone is writing the follow story from the night before because it happened so late, whatever it was, right? It's almost like a typical type of thing where that story was sitting there waiting to be written, and, man, people delivered.
I also think they did, yes. At this Cub roster, because of the urgency and the circumstances surrounding this Cub season, there's going to be it's got to remain in a state of flux because there's going to be a move. There are going to be moves. And it's not just the roster churning and the shuttle going from Iowa here and the options going back and forth between Chicago and the minor leagues. I really feel like this season, because of all the realities contractually and otherwise, the Cubs are going to be more aggressive near the deadline. Maybe we'll have to wait at the deadline. But this roster now, what we're seeing, if they can just stay in first, stay in contention, it will be a different team we see in August and September competing for the postseason.
The other thing, and I know no one cares about this sort of thing, but I saw that Baseball America released a top 100 list, and they were talking about, there's like a lot of new names coming up, et cetera. And they were talking, I stumbled on this podcast where they were talking about Moises Ballesteros at one point, and holy mother of God, they were selling that kid. Like, that kid needs to be here. That way they were talking about him.
And I know.
His bat is different level. They don't know if he can catch. They don't know what position he'll play. They have a DH in waiting who is going to fuel this offense for a long time to come.
Don't trade that guy unless it brings you Mason Miller, and the A's have to have Moises Ballesteros to pull off that deal. So I don't want to speak in absolutes because you don't know what the circumstances will be once they get to that point where they're making a move to change your season. Because I'm not saying this is going to be a 2016-ish, but if you feel like this is one of those go-for-it seasons, that trade didn't happen for Chapman until late July.
Right.
And then the rest of the season was obviously much different. So on May 8th, we can't sit here and project how untouchable somebody might be in 2 months.
But for 10 minutes or so, I was thinking that they've got their own version of Kyle Schwarber.
And I know.
It's hard hearing that and not feeling like, oh boy, that kid's going to really do some damage.
I know. That's why I'd be fascinated to hear how they discuss him at today's Cubby Conclave. I want to know what they think of Ballesteros moving forward. And we kidded last week about somebody who was 5'7" playing first base, the major league level.
Right.
but I would want to bring to the panel if somebody 5 feet, seven inches could play first base at the major league level.
Yeah, if a guy can, you know, pound the ball like a madman, so what if it winds up in a dugout every once in a while?
I wonder that, because what we're dealing with, or are you just moving and shifting your defensive problem? Because right now, third base is a daily issue. There's a daily reminder that the Cubs don't have what they need in terms of defensive stability at that position. Right. John Birdie did it again yesterday.
Oh, I know. I know. I believe it's by the time we get to the extra point, we'll be dealing with what the latest issue is.
It is.
Because, you know, choose your crisis of the day. There's three of them waiting for you to pick apart.
But that's interesting. You heard on a podcast Ballesteros being discussed outside of Chicago as the kind of guy that could impact
It was a top 100 type. You know, they're talking about great players and they're talking about these young players.
But that's what I mean. It's not just Cub fans overstating or overvaluing a prospect player like we contend to do.
No. That was me projecting him coming into a pennant race, hearing them talk about him, about the hit tool and how advanced it is. And I love that kind of stuff. It's just fun.
It is fun. And how many Sox were in the top 100?
I did not pay
Tim Elko there.
I didn't pay the price for all the information. I just wanted to hear. We know who the guys are. Tim Elko, I guess, is not considered a prospect even within the organization. So why would he be without it?
Let me tell you, that was a tough game to watch last night.
Yes, the White Sox?
Yeah.
Impossible.
Because of how it ended. So Luis Robert Jr., I guess we are kind of picking on him, but I think he's the best player on that team, so he deserves all the scrutiny. And it's not just us. Oh, Ozzie Guillen, our buddy.
Yes.
Here's the circumstances. They're in the ninth inning. Mm. And Luis Robert Jr. drives in a run to make it 2-1. But he stops at second base. I thought it was a double off the bat, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Drives it down the third baseline.
That's right.
Boom. And I'm thinking, you got Luis Robert Jr., the fastest man right now on the team, leading the majors in stolen bases. He's going to be a stand-up double or slide-in double. It's going to be a double. No. He took his time out of the box. How do you explain that? And so here's what's even worse, because if he were standing on second, the next batter, Theis, gets a base hit.
Yeah.
He'd be running across the plate to tie the game.
Yeah. I think, did Ozzie not say that when he played, you prayed and ran, right? You would say a prayer as you ran your tail off. Let's take a listen, Ozzie.
You hit, pray, and run. Mm-hmm. And make the differential. But we hit a home run. I think the differential of the game was that play. Yep. It could have made a lot of change. A lot of things great happened.
Listen, when you score one run, two runs, every little thing is magnified.
Wow.
And now that is the magnified moment of the game. And if he had not hesitated or watched to see if it was fair or foul, we have a tie game probably right now.
Okay. In this show, we talk fact, true. Mm-hmm. That's a fact, what we say. It's a true what we say. I don't care who get hurt. It should be in second base. If you got thrown out in second base, I tip my hat to you and thank you for the hustle. But when they hit it, I say, oh, it's fair ball. And he got to first base, like checking guy's hands, like, yeah, I got a base hit. I expect better from him.
Yeah, there needs to be some, I'm not saying he wasn't trying, urgency. It is the ninth inning. We haven't scored a run.
Great comments by Ozzie. Because the standard being...
Run.
Yeah, right.
And you're praying in your head while you're running.
And talking about fact.
Write a book.
And truth. Fact and truth. I love it that Ozzie tells us about fact and truth, then offers his opinion.
I love it.
That Luis Robert Jr. should have been on second base.
It's very correct. And he's right, too. If you get thrown out, if they make a play, they make a play. But you've got to take advantage. They don't have many opportunities. When you have one, you better take advantage of it.
They don't have many opportunities. Not for a team. And that was Chuck's point. They got one run against the Royals.
Yep.
And they weren't in that ninth inning, had the mindset of doing anything possible to scratch and claw their way back into that game.
But it's to me, it's also reflective of the entire group. And by that, I don't mean, I mean not just the players, not just the manager. I'm talking about the entire group. If you've got a guy, if Andrew Benintendi, who you're paying tons of money to, if he's out and you want to bring up a guy that you just DFA'd and nobody in baseball wanted him, and instead of bringing up a guy who's killing it in the minor leagues, explain that to me.
I cannot explain that to you.
Someone just needs to tell me. Oh, you know, I don't like the cut of his jib. Just tell me what it is. Because the guy's putting on a power show in Charlotte. Oh, that building, it does that. Those don't count. What are you doing?
They count. They definitely count.
What are you doing? You could use any contribution at the major league level.
Definitely. When you're scoring one run on the road, you need more bats in the lineup. So that doesn't make any sense. So it was a frustrating day of Chicago baseball. Thank goodness for the NBA and the NHL playoffs, which both delivered big time last night.
You know, I mean, you may consider it delivering, but as I mentioned before, not like a huge Knicks fan. That is like, it is just like, what it's like you put your hand down, you're trying to fix the machine, you know, and you're, all of a sudden your hand's being ground.
You got to love it, though. That's what it feels like. That was quality basketball. The Knicks on the road coming back from 20 down.
You feel like your life is impacted, like you're not going to be the same person when you get your hand out of there. I got caught in that trap last night. Why did I ever start watching the game is all I'm thinking. Awful to see. It's, you know, the other thing is
awful because you wanted the Celtics.
Awful because I wanted the Celtics, and they, like, what did Porzingis, did he play 14 minutes? He's like one of the few men in the modern era of sports that you would describe as sickly. He seems like a young Victorian child that has some sort of
just when you start saying that and assuming that he's going to hit like 7 threes in a row from 28 feet.
There's no danger of him ever being able to do anything.
You know
anything.
What you should have done then if you were that unhappy?
You can't even allow him to go out in the backyard.
Here's what you should have done. You should have turned on the Stars and the Jets because Mikko Rantanen had a hat trick by the second period.
I saw that.
He is dominating these playoffs. He has been part of the last either scored or assisted the last 12 goals the Stars have scored.
Yeah, I see.
It's remarkable.
See, if I had been sensible, I'd have done that. But unfortunately, I was watching teams that I like, and I thought, okay,
well,
I can't watch this horrible team. I mean, honestly, it's you can't watch the Chicago White Sox. They're just not watchable.
But it's part of doing your job.
Oh, and I attempt to. But then I went to watch that.
Proud.
I watched some Tibbs ball. And you know what's amazing to me about this particular Knicks team, the way they played these two games? Tibbs' reputation, we all know it, we all watched it, is that he coaches a team to play their best, and then they get in the playoffs, and there isn't another level.
This one's the opposite. They're peaking.
They are becoming the clutch Knicks.
they are peaking.
It's difficult to watch if you don't like that.
I love it because I love the uncertainty of the playoffs, is the drama and suspense. And right now you've got the Cavs and the Celtics trailing 2-0 in both of their series.
Do you think they both win?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Do you think they both lose?
I think I'm closer to feeling that way.
I'm closer to feeling one of them's going to
win. I think the Cavs are more compromised and they have more injuries to deal with. It's going to be harder for them to overcome. I think somehow the Celtics are going to climb back.
Yeah, I think they could. But I don't want to feel that way. All right, we got to get to the pick six, and we'll do that right now. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What went wrong in the Cubs' 3-1 loss yesterday and resulting in a series loss to the Giants? Was it just too good an outing from Robbie Ray combined with too cool and quiet day on offense? How did Ben Brown perform?
Yeah, I thought I thought what went wrong was that they faced a good pitcher on a kind of a day that sort of reverted to fall as the game was ongoing. It just changed from a nice kind of springy, summery day into kind of a wind blowing in kind of disaster. It just felt chilly and cool and just not like it was hitting weather. And I felt like the Cubs just didn't show up with the bats. Where'd they go, like five innings without getting a hit in that game? Four or five innings? Robbie Ray just kind of got them all down in order. And he only went six innings, but he was excellent, and he's their talisman. And, you know, to me, I want to be careful how I say this, but there are some games you're going to have to win by pitching your way out of them, and other games you win by hitting your way out of them. There just wasn't a lot of offense on the day for the combination of being pitched very well and kind of the weather and the wind blowing in, and it was just a bad outing. It just wasn't a really good day for the offense, and so you're left. I thought Brown, you know, he's come around since being criticized by the manager, and I think that that's a good thing. So a solid performance by him, just didn't get any run support. And it just was one of those days where you run into a good team and a good pitcher and they shut you down.
Everything, all of it, is what is wrong with the Cubs yesterday. I am so sick of that crutch, the weather at Wrigley. You're the home team. You're supposed to know how to play the weather at Wrigley. I understand that the Giants also come from a stadium, an area that has some tricky weather with weird temperature changes and weird wind and
the fog. Don't forget the fog.
Right? That can be a thing too. Okay, let's just start right off the bat. John Birdie at third base again, and John Birdie having an issue right off the bat. Right off the bat that
continuation.
Ron Coomer,
yeah.
That Ron Coomer pointed out. Let me ask you this. I'm sure I brought it up, but I think at least one of you, maybe both of you, agreed. Kind of like a playoff game yesterday, you know, playing a really good team, a team that you might have to play in Craig Tober if you get to that point. So if that's the situation, are you going to tell me that Michael Busch is not going to play in that game? He's going to sit out? So anytime there's a lefty, Michael Busch is just going to sit out?
I did not like that at all either.
Right? I wanted Justin Turner, who I think knows what to do with the ball.
So
now, he might not get to the ball, but I bet he knows what to do with the ball to play third base yesterday. So Michael Busch, here's the problem. When Michael Busch goes 0 for 4, okay, against this pitcher in Craig Tober, like, get him some experience. Let him have an at-bat. Let him have a chance. Dude, Michael Busch is not doing great right now. He's one of the cooler hitters, and I don't mean in a good way.
Yeah,
cool, right?
Chilly cool.
So that was another issue.
Do you believe he's an all-star if you're the Cubs? Yes, you believe that he's an all-star. Treat him like one.
Right.
Busch should be a
he should have played yesterday with a day off today. Four hits. You know, as good as PCA is playing in the field, he's had some slug. He's also had some awful approaches at the plate. Awful. Swinging too hard. I mean, there's been. I mean, I know I am the PCA cheerleader.
Yeah. He
what do you mean? Look at his numbers.
Did he not score the run?
Did he not save another? With his
I said
arm?
He's, I did listen. I said he played great on defense. His approach at the plate has not been fantastic. There's Ben Brown should not be throwing 100 pitches. He should not be throwing 103. He struck out nine, but he got through five and threw over 100.
Yeah,
you can't be this starting staff can't be tagged. I know I'm past my time, but I mean, go ahead.
No, you go.
Keep going.
I mean, you're on a roll.
Everything, all of it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready to hand out any kind of bouquet for Ben Brown for throwing 103 pitches. I mean, he walked the leadoff hitter twice, and they scored on both those occasions, and the Giants only scored three runs. So you take away those leadoff walks. I don't think his command was great early. He escaped trouble, and PCA saved him a run with a great throw. So Ben Brown was okay, but he's got to be better than okay. All these starters in this rotation, until you become whole again, have to be better than okay. If you are indeed as good as the Cub team we were describing earlier in the week when we were saying they were one of the best teams in the National League. And they can be. But for that to be true, Dustin's exactly right. Get that on tape. Dustin's exactly right. Because Michael Busch has to be in the lineup against tough lefties. You can't expect to be a team that goes deep in the playoffs without your first baseman, who you trust and consider an all-star, to be able to hit tough lefties. So when I saw the lineup, immediately with Turner and Birdie in it, I went, So I expected one of the days. And I think the Cubs went to the park maybe
expecting one of those days.
Because it was a hangover from the night before.
Yes.
So, yeah, you don't want to overreact to a series loss, but that was one I think was a little avoidable.
And I know what your next question is, so go ahead.
We got plenty of questions for Bruce Levine about an hour from now, 7:25. With Chris Flexen having pitched both Tuesday and Wednesday, does that indicate that Cade Horton will be making his major league debut Saturday in Queens against the Mets? What are the Cubs' other options if Flexen isn't one of them, or is he?
Well, I think that we're trying to connect the dots here. The Cubs, as they meet for the conclave this morning at Clark and Addison, are, I think, leaning toward promoting Cade Horton because it just seems to make sense. You have a void and you have an obvious replacement. You don't have to reconfigure your pitching approach with the rest of your bullpen. You don't have to wonder if Chris Flexen could go three or four innings as an opener or how long he would be stretched out if you want to go deeper. I think if you try to do that with a bullpen that's already taxed because of the extra inning game on Tuesday night, then you're asking for trouble. You know what you'd be asking for if you promote Cade Horton? A moment, a Cubby occurrence. So he takes the mound and he shuts down the Mets and he debuts in New York. And I don't think that it would be too much for him. I don't think the moment would be too big. I also think you got to consider this. He's in New York, and yeah, it's a New York media, and there's a lot of spotlight. But, you know, individually for a Cub player on the road, it's probably not as much big of a buzz because there's like four reporters and marquee. And I just don't think it's that big of a deal. We overstate the significance of that. And Cade Horton, he's 23 years old. He's 3 months older than Caleb Williams. I think the young man is ready for his moment, and I hope it comes Saturday.
Well, I hope it comes Saturday as well. I don't get why. Why did Chris Flexen go out in the ninth? Because they wanted to have him do his side session in front of the seven people left at Wrigley at that? I just don't. What? I mean, again, wouldn't that have been the perfect opportunity for Ryan Pressly? Well, I'm just saying, like, why not have Ryan Pressly come out there? To get back out there and get back on that horse, if you will. I mean, how about Pomerantz or Palencia? I'm just saying, I just don't.
Pomerantz got a big out.
I just don't get it. I'm confused by that. And of course, it doesn't get asked because there's other things to ask. And Craig was, you know, full of one word answers yesterday. No, no, yes, maybe. Okay, thanks, Craig. Thanks for the insight. No, no, yes, maybe. That's what I got out of Craig Counsell's post game yesterday. Just super, super frustrating and not, you know, Jordan Wicks had a really nice outing. They played early yesterday as well. You know, could Jordan Wicks be called? You know, I'm going to predict, just since that's what we do, I'm predicting bullpen day. That's what I'm predicting.
You predict Saturday's a bullpen day?
Unfortunately, David, I'm with you. If not now, when with Cade Horton, I'm with you. Because I think it's actually, you know, if we get into that discussion, I think it's easier to make your debut on the road, even in New York, versus Wrigley. I think it's easier. So if not now, when?
Yeah, I find it fascinating. I think that to me, when I look at this situation, I think, you don't want to create a situation where he has to have his debut at this time. You want him to sort of be able to gradually work into it, make sure you're on his timetable. But as far as I can tell, they've made it so that his timetable lines up with their timetable and he has to be the guy to go. I don't know why they would have pitched Flexen if for any other reason than they know he's not pitching on Saturday. So I feel like that means Cade Horton. Could they still have him used as an opener or have like an opener and try what you're talking about, a bullpen day. Okay, they probably could have to do that at some point. Maybe it's a good practice to get going on it. But when you got a guy who is timed up perfectly and you know you could use him, what's the holdup? Go ahead. Let's go with Kate Horton. I think they set it up that way.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Chase Meidroth wasn't in the White Sox lineup. Will Venable filled out Wednesday. Even though the Sox wanted everyone to know it was a planned day off, you buying that? Or do you think it was all related to the pop-up Meidroth let hit him in the head, in the noggin, if you will, that led to Tuesday's Royals calamity catastrophe?
I hope it wasn't punitive. If the kid's got a lump on his head, okay, then throw some ice on it and let him sit out a day. If it was a scheduled day off, okay, you scheduled a day off. Everybody should get one. I just hope it has nothing to do with trying to, like, well, there's accountability here just for the rookies, and we're going to hold you accountable. Who's holding management accountable for the team they're rolling out there that can't score more than a run? I think somebody ought to sit up and take notice. And I don't understand. I still, for the life of me, want an answer on why they hate Tim Elko. Why? They clearly don't like the guy. Why? He's not a prospect. Why? They brought a guy up.
They drafted him.
They've drafted him.
He's a draft pick.
He's rotting on the vine.
He's your property.
He has become a dessert wine. He's no longer. Listen, I will not. The whole thing of, did you hear the manager talk about Matone yesterday and what a great guy he is in the clubhouse and how
they DFA'd him, didn't they?
We love on April 26th, they DFA'd him. Any team in baseball could have had him. You know who took him? No one.
Nobody.
He went back to the White Sox. Please don't blow smoke up my skirt, sir. I'm not wearing a skirt.
Thank God.
Totally naked.
Whoa.
And Flag and Anthem does make skirts. They make women's clothing. So
how about kilts?
Hey, I'm wearing a Flag and Anthem shirt.
Oh, you sure are.
Can you tell? Did you notice this shirt?
Wait. I cannot wait for the Chicago
It would also
Sports
look good on me.
Network audience to see what Mully has on today.
Well, I should have thought that through a little because there's just going to be a very bright and...
Dustin, I know. We need to get you some shirts.
Planned,
and Brandon.
Planned day off my backside. I mean, this is like The Godfather. Don't insult my intelligence.
You think what? You think he was benched?
I sure hope so. I think Will Venable just found the Odyssey app and he listened yesterday morning. Yeah. Okay,
this is one of the few guys is worth playing. Very few.
I tend to think that in a situation like Chase Meidroth was in, it was not a mental error. It was not a lack of hustle. It was not something that I think deserved a punitive response. I do think the best thing for him, the reason I wondered was because if I'm the manager of this team and I see one of my young players who I believe is going to be part of the future, I want him to forget that moment as soon as possible. I don't want him to sit around and stew because he had a planned day off. I'm putting him in the lineup. I'm leading him off, and I'm putting him at short or second,
Amen.
And I'm letting him play.
Amen.
Because you got to move on from that, and that's got to be the message, and that's got to be the metaphor. I don't think benching him or – see, I even lapsed into that. I don't think not starting him – for whatever reason, was a good idea because it leads people to wonder if you were benching him. Maybe that's okay, but the kid's got to be thinking about it too because he's inside his bruised, bumped head.
He's got a bump on his head.
That's another really good question.
What's your reaction to the White Sox putting 30-year-old outfielder Andrew Benintendi on the IL for a second time this year? This time, a strained left calf suffered while running to first base on Sunday. Benintendi famously holds the richest free agent contract in Sox history at $75 million. He signed the 5-year deal in 23. He's hit 254, 345, 308, 376 for a perennial 100-loss team.
This was an invitation for the White Sox to do the right thing, the smart thing, the best thing, and they did not RSVP. This was like, no, we're good. We're good with one run per game. And they leave the guy who's leading the minors in home runs in the minor leagues while the major league team can't figure out how to score a run, how to hustle, how to manufacture, how to cross home plate. So without having to throw any shade at Andrew Benintendi, did not write that question. You don't have to throw any shade at Andrew Benintendi to wonder why the heck the White Sox cannot grasp the obvious. And the obvious thing to do is to call up the guys hitting all the homers.
If this is kind of like Cade Horton, if not now, when? Like, why wouldn't you if he's even a guy who provides any pop, meaning Benintendi, then why wouldn't you bring up Elko? Like, this is the perfect opportunity, right? It just seemed so obvious, and they still don't do it.
I think technically they will tell you that Matone played a few innings in the outfield. He's a first baseman and a DH, and had played behind Andrew Vaughn. So you got, you know, ostensibly your DH going out, right? Even though he can play right field, you don't really want to use him there very much because he's already been on the IL. This is his second stint on the IL. He you know, twisted up and had that whatever you call it. We talk about it all the time. You know, where his side is hurt.
Oblique?
He had an oblique.
Adductor?
Yeah, one of those. And so
the oblique adductor?
Yeah. And so you had him on the IL earlier in the year. The guy's 30 years old, and now he's running to first base. And there goes the calf. Oh, God, I was just walking down the hallway. Something grabbed me. So he's out with the calf.
Oh, I thought you were mocking me.
No. I may have thrown it in.
Just I think you did, because that's what happened to me this morning.
I didn't say
I
that, though.
Yeah,
you,
I know.
You just confessed
I nearly
it.
Popped an Achilles.
So he got hurt running to first base, so they sit him down. And rather than bring up the guy that is leading all of the – every White Sox player at any level in home runs, is producing RBI, is hitting every day, they still I don't understand. They brought up a 28-year-old that they just cut and no one wanted.
Local guy.
Instead of a 26-year-old that is – tearing it up at the minor leagues. You know, Ozzie's right. They told that kid, they gave him a message, you are not someone that we want on the major league. We don't consider you a prospect. And they told the rest of the organization, hit all you want, pitch all you want. You're stuck where you're at because we're not moving you up to this team that has nothing but openings on it.
Honestly, I've been fighting myself with this question for a long time.
That's Jalen Johnson, and we heard from him on Wednesday, boldly placing a goal of 7 INTs next season. He had 7 total in his first 5 seasons. Do you like his confidence, ambition, or worry that such a goal might cause him to take too many risks?
Yeah, I don't worry about guys that shoot their mouths off. I think he's a guy that likes to talk, and he likes to have goals for himself, and he has no problem sharing them. I don't really hold you to that. You know, just show the confidence, go out there, play the way you've been playing, and everything's fine. I think he's a good football player, and I don't think he's going to change the way he plays the game because he's shot his mouth off yet again and now has to back it up. I never write down, make a list, and then check it twice, Santa. I let the kid talk. Let him go on all the shows, do what you want to do, and then play well.
Confidence is very sexy, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Jalen Johnson, keep talking, because I think he needs to talk in order to deliver. I think that's just part of his makeup. You know, some people are the opposite. Some people don't want to say a word. At the end of the day, it's all what happens on the field,
that's
right?
That's all that matters.
And I did love... And I'm not a big Keyshawn Johnson guy for a number of reasons. Number one might be where he went to college. But I love the fact that he, like, you can't catch. like, you can't catch. I love the fact that they made a little wager. I'm curious what they actually wagered. But I love the fact that there was such a back and forth. And I expect big things from Jalen Johnson.
I hope he doesn't change the way he plays. I hope he doesn't take chances that are unnecessary risks trying to meet his quota and his stated loud goal of 7 interceptions. And I hope it doesn't change the way that he is, you know, one of the better defensive backs in the NFL, because you don't want to change anything. He is where you want him to be as a player. And if you do state this goal, it's like somebody trying to hit home runs. It does change your approach at the plate if you're doing that. And as a defensive back, it does change your approach slightly if you're aggressively trying to go for interceptions and maybe gambling and losing. Maybe that's the way you want to play. Maybe that's the Dennis Allen style. Don't know. I do know this. In 70 career games in the NFL, Jalen Johnson has 7 interceptions. He's expecting to put 70 games worth of career production into 17 games next year. It seems a tad bit much. It seems a bit ambitious.
And to your point, you know Keyshawn will be like, you only got 3, bro.
So he gets 5 interceptions and he falls short. It's going to be a bad season, unfulfilled expectations. No. This guy is going to be a potential defensive player of the year candidate, and he could do so without having to get 7 picks and 3 touchdowns on defense. But I guess confidence is sexy. What would you like to add, Dustin?
I just hope that the reason this is also possible is because other teams are going to be playing catch-up. You know, typically the Bears are playing, you know, from a deficit. When so teams are just running the ball, dumping it to the tight end.
Point. They're scoring 35 points
if they got to stay in the game, the ball will be in the air and these opportunities will rise.
Can he catch it?
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
I wonder if Brad Biggs can catch it. What did you think of the report from NBCChicago.com saying the Bears president Kevin Warren met with the new mayor of Arlington Heights before he was sworn in, saying that the new mayor saying that he left a meeting feeling like Warren, quote, wants to come here and also seemed receptive to the idea of including a White Sox ballpark.
Well, new mayor of Arlington Heights, Jim Tenaglia, he's welcome to come on this program. I think we've extended the invitation and would love to have that conversation. Kevin Warren apparently did stop by his office before he was sworn in, the new mayor, and I think it was a professional courtesy. I don't know if it qualifies as a big meeting or a big deal. I think it was extended and they had a good conversation and he felt comfortable talking about it publicly. I think he also felt comfortable, again, floating publicly this idea and notion that the White Sox are welcome in Arlington Heights as well. And while it's fun to consider, I don't think he's had that return phone call yet. It doesn't seem like the Sox are dying to move to Arlington Heights. And I think it's a bit distracting. I think it can be potentially a distraction from what they need to get done. And this is what they need to get done. A deal. They need to get the deal done. They need to get the shovels into the ground or into the dirt. Time is money, and you're wasting both. So after the pleasantries are over and this pipe dream of the White Sox ballpark at Arlington Heights is forgotten, then maybe you can negotiate a real deal, an agreement, and they can get started in what feels inevitable, the Bears going to Arlington Heights.
I think the Sox going to Arlington Heights is an excellent idea. I think I suggested that idea.
I thought you had him on a floating ballpark.
Not the White Sox. That's the Bears.
I thought you had a floating ballpark.
Yep, not a floating ballpark.
Oh, I thought you had a bunch of people like in McCovey Cove waiting for
No, that's the Bears. That's the Bears. They have a floating stadium that would still make all. Who owns the water? Perfect setup. Who do you got to pay to buy the water?
Build a dome and then just float it in wherever you want.
Sure.
We're going to play this week.
Sell Navy rights to Lake Michigan.
We'll just keep
flying. Again, I'll also stick to this. Wherever they build it, lots of people show up. Just do something. I'm just being really honest. I understand. I get the importance of it. But we all have our certain things, right? Everybody's got a thing that they're kind of exhaust them, if you will. Like me personally, Bears Stadium talk, like the business of it.
Yeah,
it's going to happen. Let's just get on with it. Like, build it and let's play ball. Like, I don't care if the Bears play over at York like High School. Just get on. I just want to see football. I don't care where they play.
Is there a waterway they could float that stadium over there?
But yeah, Salt Creek.
That's like saying, can we just get to the NLCS? Because the rest of the season for the Cubs doesn't really. I'm tired of these series against the Giants and the Mets, and let's get on with it.
I don't think that's apples. That's apples and oranges.
Process.
It's apples and oranges. Some people don't like the Masters. Some people don't like the Kentucky Derby. Some people don't like stadium talk.
Hey, shots fired.
We got to talk about the Triple Crown before we get out of here. I'm getting, that's driving me nuts. I would say, Dustin, that, you know, it may be time to pop some popcorn and go to some meetings and just sit in on what the arguments are about. Get the building done. I'm with you. I'm tired of it. They got the land. They own it. They're going to Arlington Heights. Get the shovels in the ground. They've got to start building this thing. Build it and they will come. Sounds good to me. I'm all for it. Get it going. All right. We got the extra point next. Mully and Haw score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
All right, guys, with an off day for the Cubs, where are you at with the team's hierarchy of needs? Yesterday it was closer. It has been starter since Justin Steele went down, and we know that third baseman is the boogeyman position in the lineup. Where are you on this glorious Thursday morning?
Well, I am waiting and eyeing the chimneys at Clark and Addison, waiting for the white smoke to billow out to find out if Cade Horton is going to start Saturday night in New York. And if it's black smoke, I think it'll be Chris Flexen. White smoke for Cade Horton. And then I'll worry about the starting pitching. I still think that today, as I wake up this morning, and it does tend to change every day, doesn't it? There are three big things, as we know, with the Cubs. You worry about their starting rotation because of the injuries. You worry about their bullpen because of Ryan Pressly. You worry about the third base situation because Matt Shaw wasn't it. And maybe he can be again. But I do think they're probably talking about how creative and aggressive do they want to be addressing each of those issues. With the bullpen, I think you're just going to have to wait until closer to the deadline, fortify it, and try to different things. Porter Hodge may get the ninth inning. Ryan Pressly may get the eighth. That would be something I'd consider, regardless of what you may have promised him in free agency. The starting rotation, I would bring up Cade Horton, see how he does in the rotation that really needs him. We overstated how good Ben Brown was yesterday, I think. 103 pitches, he walked two leadoff hitters, and they cost him. So they need some stability there. Third base, it's a mess. It's a mess defensively. So as you try Nicky Lopez and John Birdie and Brujan and who else, I do wonder, if you're getting creative, I can't help but notice, Moises Ballesteros is down at AAA Iowa. He can't play third, but can he play first? And if he can play first, can you play Michael Busch at third? Michael Busch has played 75 games at the minors at third base, and Ballesteros has played 60 at first base. It's probably not something you want to do in season, and it sounds one of those sports talk radio hypotheticals. But I don't think the alternative is much better. Anyway, I would say starting pitching, bullpen, third base.
Do we have to do that at the same time? Does Ballesteros have to play first while Bush is playing third?
Well, that gets them both in the lineup. Well,
I just think...
Unless the lefty, then they probably would both sit
down. I'm
thinking
about what that would look like across the diamond.
Yeah, it might be kind of funny.
David, I love the sports talk radio hypotheticals, and that is a very interesting one. You could also talk about, we could shake it up even a little bit more, and we could say have Nico go to third and have Bush just go over to second. That's another option.
Because they've done that, yeah.
Right? So there are options. Here's the thing.
How many games has Bush played at second?
I have to go to Baseball Prospectus in a second and let you know. What's interesting is the fact that you have answers to some of these questions, David, that you nailed, right? Michael Bush, is he floundering in the field down at AAA? I doubt it. Nicky Lopez, when in the field, has played well at third base. So again, just right away, I know at the end of the day, they only scored one run yesterday.
Yes.
But I had mentioned, if you're the starting pitcher and you look over your shoulder and there's John Birdie over there at third base, does that worry you at all? Does that upset your confidence at all? It could. People are human. It could be a thing. You also, David, and you and I are in agreement on this, have Cade Horton down at like, there's your... We don't know if he's the answer, but at least he's maybe the answer. You don't know until you let him try. What else is he going to do down at AAA? He's made 10-plus starts at every level. I'm just saying, they have options to answer these questions that we all agree are questions. I think the issue is, right now, I think for this coming weekend, I think starting pitching. You're playing the Mets, so I think starting pitching, the next time you take the field, over the weekend, that's number one. And by the game, it's a 5:35 pregame, not a 6:35 pregame on Friday.
Thanks for telling me that, because sure. I could have gotten confused, seriously. I would say that it is important to sort of just keep perspective on everything that you're looking at. So it's early in the season, and you're going to have to resolve these issues. I think they need help in the bullpen. I think that bullpens change. Someone may help them that you don't expect. Things are different with bullpens. It evolves over the course of a season. Would it be great if they went out and got somebody? Yes. But to me, the priority is always going to be the starting pitching. The starting pitching has to be the priority because even with some of the guys that are currently your starters, there isn't a track record that makes you believe they're going to be able to be pitching in October. You know, we're sitting here talking in May about what you're going to need at the end of the year. We're sitting here talking in May about cashing in on insurance policies that may not still be operational by the time you get to October. So you've got to be aware of that, too. But I definitely think, above all else, they probably need a starting pitcher. They've lost a starting pitcher. They've done a good job of covering for it. But by the end of this, you probably need another starting pitcher. I think that would be my priority. I think the bullpen thing, like I said, there are different ways of improving it, different ways of getting better. That doesn't have to be going out and getting Aroldis Chapman, although I believe that's happened and worked before, so keep an eye on that.
He actually may be available.
I really feel like the third base thing should have, could have been resolved in the offseason, and it wasn't. And that's what you're going to have to kind of live with. That is the one of all else that I think you could probably live with, and given the way they've been playing, still be okay. You would like upgrades in all areas. That's unrealistic. I would go starting pitching, bullpen, and then third base in my hierarchy.
You're not wrong. I'm not wrong.
No.
Dustin's not wrong.
No.
It would be wrong to ignore any of them.
I totally agree with it. I'm just saying, if you're prioritizing, maybe that's how you do it. Yep. All right. We got to get to the show. 312-644-6767. We'll get to your phone calls. Molly and Hall on the Score.
We also have Moises Ballesteros making a jump. I would say that at this point, there are still questions about his defense, how much he's going to catch in the big leagues. But going to you first this time, Jeff, I feel like that we're about as comfortable about Moises Ballesteros' bat as there is pretty much for any hitter in the minor leagues at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the feedback that I had gotten, particularly internally, was bullish on Ballesteros' bat, you know, how young he was and still really productive over a pretty large sample size of 68 games last year. In AAA, you know, the catching, as we know, was going to need some work. He's been primarily a catcher. He's had like one game at first base and then gotten some games at DH. But, you know, there's no arguing with the hit tool.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're talking about the Cubs earlier. We were talking about Moises Ballesteros and the fact that, you had this great idea of bringing him up and playing him at first base. He really doesn't have a position. He's a catcher, ostensibly, but he's not a very polished one.
I don't know that it's a great idea.
No.
It was a potential alternative. I don't want to claim it or even express it as one of my great ideas. because I don't know that
this
fully.
Is one of your, this is one of your bad ideas?
This is one of my mediocre ideas, because I think that it's not even my idea necessarily. I think as we talk through options,
yes,
we want to make clear this is a potential. This is one of them. Again, if we're sitting at the Cubby Conclave this afternoon, and they're, well, what do we think about Ballesteros? He's outgrown AAA pitching.
Yeah,
this is a potential option because he has first base experience.
Right.
He's not going to catch. Your catching position is the second most productive in baseball.
Yes.
And this is something that...
Amaya is your long-term catcher.
Yeah, it's a nice problem to have. But I also think it's important to remember, while this is an option, and maybe it will be a great idea, defense has got to be the priority here when you're talking about why you're... You're talking about bringing up Ballesteros because you have a hole in your infield.
Yes.
But the hole's at third base. And I think if you can solidify that defensively, you got to believe in your offense being good enough to carry you. So I think Nicky Lopez gives you the best option defensively.
Right,
I don't
now,
know why he would not give you the confidence every day that he would get the job done.
But in this scenario that we were talking about, and again, no one is proclaiming this.
It's a hypothetical.
But the idea would be maybe move Nico across the infield to third. Have Michael Bush play second where he's played before, and then have Ballesteros, again, who is like a failed catcher. And I don't mean failed. He's just a young guy developing, but he's not going to be able to
be. That's Dustin's option. That would be option B.
Yes, okay.
My option was not to move Nico because his arm is not as strong as it will be. He's still recovering.
You're moving.
I would move Bush to third base.
Because Bush is a better athlete.
Under that scenario. He's a very good athlete.
Okay. And by the way, and we'll stop talking about it, but Moises Ballesteros jumped 20 spots on their list.
Wow.
He's up to like 37.
Spots.
Yeah, that's pretty good. When you think
that's
about
a hit tool.
How good some of those guys
are. That's a hit
are.
Tool.
Yeah. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score.